Now presenting.
And I'm so sick of people saying that love is just all a woman is fit for. I'm so sick of it.
The Cinema Chicks Podcast.
Maybe I'm one of those people that has always wanted to do it, but it's like a pipe dream.
Totally bug it.
Snap out of it.
Starring Hope Johansson.
I'm not a poet. I'm just a woman.
And Madeline Rancourt.
Yeah, call me Lady Bird like Christine. You said you would.
Hey, I'm Hope.
Hey, I'm Madeline.
And we are the Cinema Chicks.
Hope, okay, so recently I saw a movie that I didn't think would be one that I would go see. I saw the new Super Mario's movie.
I'm genuinely looking forward to it. I have to say, yeah. There's so many good actors mm-hmm. in the cast. Mm-hmm. And like, I may not have been the best at Super Mario Bros. However, I was really great at Mario Kart.
Yeah, Mario Kart's a lot of fun. I grew up playing all the Mario games because I have a younger brother and a mom who loved video games. So we would always like snow days or I don't know, we would just like rent a new game or buy a new game for the weekend and like try and complete it or something. So that was like a very fond memory of my childhood. So I went to go see it with the kids that I nanny, which was like a good excuse like for me to go see this because I probably wouldn't have gone on my own. I just don't think, I mean, no, there are plenty of like grown adults that I think are going to see this, and especially watching it, there's a lot in it that I think are just put in there for the true fans, or like there's just a lot of good moments that it's like, oh yeah, like that maybe didn't fit in the movie, but it's in the world of Mario that it like just feels complete.
That's awesome.
So it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. I think that this is probably going to turn into some sort of franchise or
really?
Yeah. I mean,
it's
apparently beat like every animation movie, I guess.
Really?
I guess it's having a lot of success. At least that's what my brother told me. So I believed it because he loved it. He said it was so good. He said like he wanted to come again with me. Yeah, it's ready to join $1 billion at the box office. So I think that's pretty crazy. And yeah, I'm just like interested to see where this goes next. It's a Illumination movie. So that would be like Minions and the Grinch movie. It's sort of like run by Universal.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's interesting because this is, I want to say, the first like Nintendo movie. So that's kind of under that realm. So yeah, I could see a lot of Nintendo movies coming in the future, especially because like in this they didn't show Yoshi or Daisy. I don't know, there were a couple different characters that they didn't show. Oh, Toadette. No. I don't know, so there were a couple that I just feel like maybe they're saving for another movie. So I think that's probably a possibility. Will I go see the next one? I don't know. But yeah, that's what I've watched recently. It was nice to go back to the theaters and see something that was short. It was an hour and a half. I also saw Air.
I'm really looking forward to seeing that.
Yeah, I really liked it. Maybe we'll be able to talk about it on the podcast, hopefully. But I think my letterbox, I wrote like, this is going to be my dad's favorite movie. Like, I think
it's a new Ford versus Ferrari.
Yes, so true. It's a new Ford versus Ferrari for sure. I didn't see that either, but I can just assume that it's that.
My dad loved that movie, but mm-hmm. also I thoroughly enjoyed it too and thought it had a lot of artistic integrity.
Yeah.
Even though it was like 12 hours long.
Yeah. This I think is going to be very similar. It's kind of a sports movie, but also like just a business movie. Michael Jordan, they don't really show, which I watched.
Interesting.
Yeah. I watched an interview with Ben Affleck and he was saying how, you know, they made that choice because he was joking, like the actor that looked like Michael Jordan wasn't available.
Funny.
But he was just saying how once the audience saw him, they'd be like, well, that's not him. And it would just be unbelievable. And the story also isn't really about him. Like it's about the start of the Air Jordans. But I liked that because it's really based around Matt Damon's character and how he really fought for Michael Jordan to be sponsored by Nike versus Converse or Adidas. So I really liked it. And it's also a lot about Michael's parents and how they helped him along that and his mom played by Viola Davis, and she's Slay. Incredible, of course. And apparently Michael Jordan said that if they're making this movie and his mom was going to be in it, he only wanted Viola Davis to play his mom, which
iconic.
Like, absolutely. So yeah, I really enjoyed it. I think it's going to be a really good movie for somebody like my dad to watch on an airplane. I think that's going to be their prime market. Yeah. What about you?
I have just been obsessed with Daisy Jones and the Six.
Oh, I need to watch.
So that was one of, I guess still is, one of my favorite books I've ever read. Mm. I tore through it one summer in a little under 3 days. Mm-hmm. I am, as you probably know by now, I am a big fan of like 70s rock and roll.
Yes.
I very much should have been in my 20s in 1973 as opposed to 2023. Mm-hmm. But that's okay. I'll live vicariously through the incredible book by Taylor Jenkins Reid, who also wrote The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo. Yeah. So big things for her. I think she's a phenomenal
and drama
author.
Of Jessica Chastain. Did you see that?
The tea.
Yeah,
the tea.
Because people wanted her to sign the book at the stage door, and she's like, I'm not doing that. And she posts on her story being like, I'm just like, it's not that I read a bad script. I'm just not going to like sign other people's work. And
yeah,
I love her. I love her so much. Everyone go see A Doll's House. I think I'm going to see it for a third time.
I need to go see it for a second time and a third and fourth time. And she keeps posting on her Instagram about how there's limited availability left. And I'm like, don't do this to me, Jessica.
Yeah.
You're giving me heart palpitations.
Exactly. Exactly.
But anyway, yeah, I've just been very invested in the world of Daisy Jones and the Six. The script isn't phenomenal.
Oh, okay.
It almost at times feels like a Hallmark-y or like Netflix-y script movie. Yeah. I mean, it's Amazon.
But Amazon gave us Maisel.
Exactly. I mean, it is something that was created for a streaming platform.
Yeah.
So I think inherently the bar is set a little lower. Some of the dialogue is, you know, pretty so-so, but I love the story. I love everything about Riley Keough, as we both do. Go listen to our episode on Zola if you want to hear more about how we love her.
Yes.
And the music is also incredible. So I don't know if you read the book or know anything about it, but this fictional band in the show that the plot kind of revolves around this interviewing the band, you know, 20 or 30 years after the release of their first big album and how the band disintegrated after that. But all of the actors sang and played all of their instruments, and then they recorded the actual album that the band made, and it's been released, and it's gone like to number one on iTunes.
Yeah.
And but most of that is because of me, because I have been listening to the album Aurora by the fictional band Daisy Jones and the Six on repeat for maybe, has it been out for like a month now?
Yeah.
I've been listening to it for like probably the past month and I can't get enough of it.
Have you seen Free People has a clothing collection for it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I want all of it. But I am unfortunately not a wealthy woman yet.
Yeah.
But hey, I could always open a new credit card.
Very, very true. Yeah, very
so
true.
That's what I've been obsessing over lately.
Mm. I also have been obsessing over the movie that we're talking about today. I don't know. I was kind of pleasantly surprised with it in some ways. Others, I was like, yeah, it's kind of what I expected. What I was surprised about was how much I bawled my eyes out the entire time.
Oh, yeah.
Today, we're talking about A Good Person, which is written, directed, and produced by Zach Braff.
And is starring Florence Pugh, Morgan Freeman, Celeste O'Connor, Molly Shannon, Zoe Lister-Jones, and Chinaza Unche.
Yes, this movie was one that I've been excited for a long time because I am a big Florence Pugh fan, as I know you are.
Yeah.
And also Zach Braff, I loved watching their relationship during the pandemic and like her living in his perfect house and doing her cooking videos and all of that. And also, this is kind of a side tangent, but during the pandemic, okay, so let me start at the beginning of my Florence Pugh obsession.
Yes.
Before the pandemic started in December, actually, I want to say it was November. I went to a early screening, a New York Times talk for Little Women.
Oh.
And Florence Pugh was there. Oh, the whole cast was there, but they were like, Florence Pugh was there. And I was like, I don't know this woman because I hadn't seen Midsommar yet. Oh, and
it's crazy.
At first I thought, I was like, wow, she really looks like Hilary Duff. But now I don't see it anymore. But like, I don't know. At first I really did with the blonde hair in her Little Woman era. Maybe not so much now, but before she got edgier. But yeah, I was like, who is this woman? And then I was obsessed with her after Little Woman. And then the pandemic hit. And I don't know if we've talked about this on the podcast, but, you know, obviously there were all these stories about people who were dealing with COVID, especially people who were affected by it really early on, and especially in the entertainment community. Mm-hmm. And I really was like drawn to the story of Nick Cordero, who was one of Zach Braff's mm-hmm. best friends, and his wife, Amanda Klutz, who now is a host on The Talk. And my mom and my sister and I have been following Amanda and her sister for, well, now it's almost like 3 years.
That's crazy.
And that like was we, so sad. Yeah, we share their stories. Her sister's Anna, and her sister Anna now lives in Paris. And like she came from Paris to come live with Amanda while Nick was in the hospital. And Nick had this song, Live Your Life, and we would like play it every day. And yeah, Zach and Florence were like really there for her during that time. And actually Amanda was living like in their guest house when he had COVID. And I mentioned this all because I've seen since then, I still follow Amanda. I mean, I like look at her stories and her posts all the time, and she's just a really incredible woman. And it's nice to see like she's been supporting this film, and I've kind of seen like this come through that. And mm-hmm. also how Zach and Florence aren't together anymore, but they've been working a lot on the press for this. And just kind of knowing this like circle of friends, I really recognized a lot of the faces in this movie, which made it really nice.
Yeah. Jesse Mueller.
The tie to all of this now that I'm getting to is, yes, Jesse Mueller and then Drew Gallig. They were both in Waitress with Nick.
Yes. And so, also Alex Wolff.
Yes.
Who is another member of the Broadway community.
Yes.
And
he did a play reading of This Is Our Youth during the pandemic with Florence Pugh that I watched.
And Jackie Hoffman, too.
Yeah. So I just loved to see
so crazy.
This sort of like, I don't want to be like using the people that you know, because like obviously they could use a lot of different people, but I especially love seeing films and people that are connected to the theater community using people in theater that probably otherwise wouldn't be getting these. You know, they're not huge roles. Both of them had maybe a few lines or something. But to me, it was nice to see throughout all of this, I've seen Zach continue to show his support for Amanda since Nick has passed. Mm-hmm. And especially because Nick and Amanda had, they have a young son.
Elvis.
Yes. I'm obsessed with him. And it was just nice to see that, like, this is his friend and that he's still supporting his mutual friends and everyone that was just popping up. I was like, oh my gosh, it's another person like within that circle. Or I was kind of connecting the dots of Zach knows Nick, who was in Waitress, and Jesse was in Waitress, and Drew was in Waitress, and like all these people are kind of connecting. And it makes that like, you know, scary big entertainment industry, how are you going to break through it, all that, feel much more close-knit and feel more like a friends and family project.
Absolutely. And I think for me, I know maybe not for everyone who works in the business. I think some people, you know, just want to hit rich quick and be a big celebrity and so on and so forth. But like my dream as an artist is to be able to create passion projects mm-hmm. with the people I love and bring people up with me. Like if you have the opportunity, if there is a space, I would, and I'm not saying that this is like fair or whatever, but I think it's important to show love and support to the people that you care about and believe in and who, you know, genuinely are passionate about you and care about you and your work, as opposed to, you know, maybe bringing in some person who, you know, maybe will be just as talented, maybe is even more talented, but they don't have the heart and the passion and the love for the project like, you know, mm-hmm. someone you know would.
Exactly.
hope that made sense. But yeah, I think it's really beautiful and heartwarming, and part of the reason why you just kind of want to like cry through this whole movie, because mm-hmm. I think it just oozes love for humanity, because it's about a lot of really difficult issues.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't a light-hearted movie by any stretch of the imagination.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that it's still so heartwarming,
mm-hmm.
and it's just really beautiful. And I'm upset that it's not being given as big of a platform as it should. I don't know if that's due to marketing, or if there's like not a budget, mm-hmm. or like some kind of issue with distribution, but like it's MGM, so it's like, why would it not be widely released? And this doesn't, Morgan Freeman and Florence Pugh don't necessarily scream like indie project.
No,
release.
Both like,
or Zach Braff for that matter.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree. I think going into this, I was like, I don't know. I also feel like I'm seeing this on the later end of its run. I know mm-hmm. I caught it in theaters. Now it's on streaming. But in theaters, when I saw it, I mean, it was released March 8th. So we're pushing over a month here.
Yeah.
Rather, that was its UK release. But I didn't really know what I was going into. I knew that this was kind of a story about grief, but I didn't realize it was also going to be a lot about like guilt.
Guilt, addiction.
I didn't know it was going to be about addiction either. And I really didn't realize it was going to be for both Florence and Morgan's characters, but it's definitely not a light movie. And I think that they did a really nice job touching upon those parts without it so heavily focused on that. You know, it didn't feel like this was like a Beautiful Boy or Ben is Back, you know, one of those like addiction movies that it's solely about that and the people that are struggling around it. You know, it did feel like this is really multi-layered and also dealing with relationships and how you drift away from people for certain reasons and try and get back together and they've moved on. There was just a lot of layers. I think the problem that I had was that there were a lot of moments that felt very cliche to me.
Yeah.
And I mean, was a little like Lifetime story-esque,
because I see
Morgan Freeman being like, I'm gonna go kill him. And then he like unlocks a gun and like brings a gun to a party and wants to shoot somebody. And it was like, what is going on? It was a little like, oh, this is a little bit dramatic for what?
Yeah. I think maybe in some of those moments like that, it's a little bit of like a, not necessarily a cop out, but it's, you know, something flashy to potentially draw a different audience in.
Mm.
But also, like, I do think those emotions are true to life, whether or not someone's going to actually act on it. And the fact that he acted on it does feel a little
cheap.
Yeah. But, I mean, I don't know. Sometimes you just need a good, like, you can't necessarily call this a pick-me-up movie.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's just like a story about real life. Mm. And life is hard and scary and weird and dramatic, and grief is hard, and I really don't think we talk about it enough. So I think this is a really beautiful launch pad into talking about grief in the 21st century and in 2023, and I'm excited to see more things in this vein. Grief from a myriad of different circumstances, whether or not they lead to addictions or how they change people's lives. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can say from firsthand experience that like I am a very different person than I was before I experienced such deep grief, like, mm-hmm. and not the exact same circumstance, but similar level of pain to what these people have gone through in this movie. Poor Florence. I mean, she gives a performance of a lifetime, as always. She's never not on it.
Literally.
And I'm just sad that nobody's talking about it anymore.
I know, and I also loved Molly Shannon in this.
Oh, Molly Shannon's a gem.
She was like, I've been watching the other two on HBO. She's the mother in that.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Hilarious. And I felt like she was great comedic relief in this, you know. Like
absolutely. A Florence, vital part.
Yeah, Florence is having withdrawals in her room, and the mother is like, I have this idea for us to go on Shark Tank. I think that we could go on Shark Tank and like do little projects. We could do crafts. And she like has a glass of wine in her hand. And I think that it was really a heavy movie. I left feeling like, oh my God, I just cried for 2 hours straight. And this was one of those movies where I was like, just a blubbering mess.
Yeah.
I don't think I've been that since like Armageddon time, Armageddon time was another movie I wasn't expecting to cry, but then again was about grief and especially losing a grandparent and I lost it. So yeah, this movie, you know, I think there's something in there for everybody.
Yes.
I personally, thankfully, don't relate to the story of losing somebody in an accident, knock on wood. I don't relate to the addiction and all of those. I'm very blessed to say that. But I think the story of grief is something that I definitely relate to. The story of, not in the magnitude of her relationship, but relationships and something happens and you have to go your separate ways and trying to find if you're going to come back.
That's losing yourself.
Very relatable.
In all of it. It's hard. Yeah. Life's hard.
Yeah, I felt like this just really encapsulated a lot of different parts of life. You have also a daughter, a granddaughter who's grieving, and you have somebody who's trying to be her mentor and her guardian and not really know what to do and trying to put her on birth control and being like, I don't know, I just want you to be safe and I'm too old for this. And there was just a lot of beautiful things in it. And also, I don't know, there was a lot of layers. Also, abusive relationships with parents and alcoholism and drug addiction. And there was a lot. There was a lot.
But I
don't know. It's hard. It's one of those things that I'm like, sometimes it did feel like, okay, this is like you're hitting every point. And sometimes that can feel a little too much. Like, okay, you're just putting everything life has in this one movie to make it relatable to everybody. Where sometimes you watch a movie that really pinpoints one thing that most people cannot relate to. I don't know. The first thing I could think of is Phantom Thread. That is like such a hyper-specific movie that how many people are going to relate to this, like, mommy issues. I need to help somebody who's sick. I like to be helped sort of relationship. Probably, maybe hopefully not a lot of people, but it's such like a hyper specific movie that it like really is done well.
Exactly.
And then you see something like this that kind of hits everything and is like kind of almost too much that it's not, it's almost like, I think what I'm trying to say is it feels like the antithesis of a Slice of Life movie.
Yes. Like,
Licorice Pizza is kind of nothing that it's everything.
Exactly.
And this is everything that it's almost nothing. Like everything that was so big felt, okay, like this is nothing now because
it's hard
like,
to remember.
What am I supposed to compare to? Like, I don't know. You just told me you're going to bring a gun, but then this person, it gets a lot. Overall, I would say that this is Cinema Chicks approved.
Yes.
I want my mom to watch it. I want my sister to watch it. Do I want my like other film friends to watch it? I don't know. Maybe it's not like first one I'm going to recommend. There's also like some exciting stuff coming out, but was afraid we're going to be talking about next.
I'm
very
so
excited. So yeah, maybe this is okay that it's not getting the most talk, but like for the Florence fans, for the people that are grieving, I would definitely recommend.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
And on that note, that's a wrap.
Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. If you enjoyed, you can rate and review us on your favorite podcast platform. You can also follow us on Instagram at The Cinema Chicks and on TikTok at Cinema Chicks.
And if you want to be friends, you can follow me on Instagram at Madeline Daisy Rancourt and on Letterboxd at Madeline Daisy.
Or you can follow me on Instagram at Hope Johansson and on Letterboxd at HJoha.
And before we end today, we'd like to thank our sponsors.
Model Train Towns.
Shark Tank ideas.
And cutting all your hair off during a manic episode. Thanks for listening.
I'm so glad we had that talk.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.